Hi, this is Matt Hagan, driver of the Die Hard Nitro Funny Car, 2011 champion. You're listening to WFO.
NHRA fans, if you love hearing from your favorite drivers and all the inside scoop from the Full Throttle Drag Racing Series, you'll love WFO Radio. Download the iPhone application in the App Store now. It's just $1.99.
It's the most exciting sport on earth as far as I'm concerned.
Just $1.99 for the WFO Radio NHRA Nitro Show. Driver interviews, drag racing news, and much more.
That would be awesome.
Go to the App Store and search WFO Radio. If you've got the iPhone, for just $1.99, you've got WFO. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro, getting ready for the O'Reilly Auto Parts Spring Nationals. Headed to Houston, and at four wide a couple of weeks ago, Texas was well represented. Steve Torrence, number one qualifier in Top Fuel, and he joins us now. Steve, welcome to WFO Radio. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you, Joe?
You're doing very, very well. Hey, man, you got this team really coming together. Congratulations on number one qualifier at the four wide Nationals.
Thank you, thank you. That goes off to Richard Hogan, Brian Shipman, all the guys that working on the car. You know, those guys have really, really excelled, and I'm happy with the way things have gone. You know, I've tried to do my best to go out and field a very professional, competitive team, and the results are coming around. And you know, we couldn't be more happy and representing Capco and the Torrence Racing team very well.
And you guys have really come a long way. You've always been a really strong driver. We remember that from the alcohol ranks. But jumping into Top Fuel, it's just a totally different environment. Talk about the challenges and how different it was getting into the Top Fuel mix. I know you've been doing it for a while now, but this year has really been a banner year for you and your team. And I also know that you have seized a lot more control of it this year. So I want to get into that. But first, just talk about jumping into the shark-infested waters of Top Fuel, period.
You know, really, the fuel car class has stepped the level up quite a bit this year. I was talking with Khaled Belushi last race, actually, and, you know, we're looking back over the past few years, the reaction times amongst the class and how the level has just stepped up this year considerably. You know, if you go out there, I was going through some of the records. I've got three whole shot losses this year. One of them I was just dead late on the tree, but the other two I was 50 and get beat on a whole shot. So, you know, the caliber of the drivers, have everybody stepped their game up, everybody stepped the program up, and are really making it difficult to go out there and just run away with it. Richard Hogan's doing great tuning the car. I've been able to ease my mind a little bit and take some stress off of me and just concentrate more on my driving. There are a lot of other things that I have taken control of, you know, since we decided to go out and do our own team instead of racing over there with Dexter Tuttle. And, you know, that weighs on your mind all the time because you're constantly trying to keep up with what's going on at the shop, what's going on with the car, what's going on with the guys there at the racetrack, keeping everybody happy, trying to do some marketing, and, you know, it's just, there's a lot of stuff on my plate right now, but hats off to the guys that have given me such a good race car that takes one of the factors out of my worrying. So, you know, really happy to be here. It's been a long time coming, but we're glad to be where we're at.
Now, you mentioned all those responsibilities. I know what I've got going, just with the radio show and behind the scenes, just trying to get by, and it's tough. There's only so many hours in the day, period. You can only work so many of 24 hours before you collapse. And I know that you have got a lot going on, taking responsibility of the team, starting your own team from top to bottom, and then getting out there and driving the car and making sure you can perform when it matters the most on Sunday has got to be a challenge.
Yeah, it really is. But, you know, it's kind of comical. I've been working 8 days a week, 25 hours a day here for the last 6-8 months. You know, we've got the race team coming together. We come home and go to work at our family business to maintain that. And, you know, it's a big load, but I'm happy to have the opportunity to do it. I'm glad that our family has been fortunate enough to be able to go out and have our own Top Fuel team. So no complaints from me, just hard work and dedication. And, you know, perseverance is going to pay off for sure. We're really trying hard to get that first win for Torrence Racing and Capco, and sooner than later, hopefully.
Now, you've been doing this a long time. I mean, you're a young guy, but you're 15 years old, and you're jumping out there, and you're battling it out with these guys on many different levels, and have just ascended up the ladder. Once again, you can't build a race team without a great driver. You got to have a reliable driver that's not going to do the wrong thing. And you wearing both hats, you know you've got that.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, starting in Super Comp, going to the alcohol cars, and then and finally making the transition into Top Fuel, I mean, that's a huge factor in my driving. And, you know, look at Sean Langdon. The guy won two championships in the Super Comp class and is one of the better drivers out there right now. And that speaks volumes for all these up-and-coming drivers, the junior dragster kids and everything, to get out there and race, because, you know, that's the foundation of the sport. That's where your next top drivers are going to come from, I think. And don't get me wrong, I don't want to go back down there and race with those guys simply for the fact, I mean, you talk about a shark tank in Top Fuel, go to Super Comp. If you're not 00 on the tree and run dead on your dial, I mean, you're probably going to go home. So we go out there and go 40 on the tree and wiggle it around in the middle and get it back in the groove. I mean, we've got an easy job compared to those guys. So I learned a lot in those classes and gained a lot of experience. And, you know, I'm glad I'm where I'm at. I don't want to have to go back and race Super Comp and count on it all the time, because, I mean, that's the shark tank of the class.
You know, Sean has told us that. You're telling us that. I know that myself, having been dispatched many times from bracket races with good lights and being sent the other way. It's interesting to me, though. I wish we could get more of the mainstream fans understanding it, because those guys are battling it out every weekend at the national events, whether it be Super Gas and Super Comp or even Stock and Super Stock. There's great racing going on there. I do know you want to walk around the pit area at some point, too, so you can't sit in the seats the entire time. But I wonder, do the fans understand that is the ladder? That is where great driver skill is acquired.
You know, I really don't think a lot of fans see that. A lot of fans will go up there, and I have guys coming to me, new people that we bring out to the races, and you know, they're gung-ho on watching all the cars they can go down the track, and they'll come back to me, and they don't understand the index classes. They don't understand Super Comp, Super Gas, Super Street, any of the classes where they have throttle stops, and it kind of confuses them. They're like, well, that's not drag racing, but, you know, it really is, and that is the ladder, the stepping stones to a lot of anything you do. You know, you can't just go out there and jump in an alcohol car, or a fuel car, and unless you're Dale Worsham, and just start racing. And, you know, you gotta work your way up. So that is definitely where the drivers come from in the sport.
Now, Steve, go ahead.
I also attribute a lot of my being able to focus and concentrate to the sportsman racing, you know, and that was a huge factor 2 weeks ago in Charlotte, the being able to go up there and looking at four different stage and pre-stage bulbs, concentrate on your tree, go in, stage the car, and not be concerned about what all's going on with all those other lights up there flashing and looks like a small fireworks show, and then it's time to go. So, I mean, it's easy to get caught off guard and be late, so sportsman racing definitely helped me there, too.
Oh, absolutely. And what about, I would imagine, even in your daily business, in work, there's a lot of lessons to be learned at the local drag strip. You just got to get out there and get to learning them. They come the hard way.
Yeah, they really do. So that we're looking forward to going down to Houston and get a lot of friends, a lot of family. This is one of our hometown races, so going to have all the Capco guys out. We're pretty excited about that.
And you're running better than you ever have. Coming off a number one qualifier, it's got to be easy to generate excitement amongst the friends and family and get out there to what you consider pretty much one of two home races.
Yeah, it really is. And you know, the momentum has really been picking up with this team. We've run well. I mean, knock on wood, and good Lord's looked after us, but, you know, the car's really performed well since we came out last year. We had Richard's got a whole lot of knowledge, a whole lot of experience, and put this car together with hopes and ambitions of coming out and being one of the top running teams. And, you know, everybody can hope for that, but we've been successful and been able to go out there and run with the big guys. And, you know, we're a one car team. So I think that speaks volumes in itself. And we're going to go out, try to carry that momentum from Charlotte, the number one qualifier, and see what we can do. I mean, it would be awesome to be able to go down there, run well, and potentially get that first win for Torrance Racing and Capco at home.
Oh my goodness, the party would be out of control.
Yeah, it really would. I was talking to some people yesterday, and they were asking me, you know, when I was going to come back from the races, and I said, you know, we'll probably end up coming back Sunday night and get home, because it's only a couple hours from the track. And they said, well, what if you win? I said, well, we'll just come back Tuesday, because we'll probably party all the way into Monday morning sometime, so may need to rest and come home Tuesday. So hopefully that's what we'll get to do.
For the fans out there, Steve, you know, this is a sport where the strong survive, the well-funded survive, and those that have success can take that success and breed more success. And it's really hard to crack that group, and I know you're trying. When you look at Don Schumacher Racing, the three cars that they've got out there, the success that they've had. Over in Nitro Funny Car, you don't have to go far, but you look at John Forrest. For the fans out there, try to put into words what it's like being in the fields, one car team, trying to crack that bubble, knowing that you're under-resourced. As much as you guys have put together a great team, you're under-resourced when it comes to gathering information against these three-car, multi-car teams with large budgets and big-time sponsors. What would it be like? What would it mean to you to get to that goal of winning one of these races?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, you hit the nail on the head when you say, I mean, no matter how many parts you can go out and buy and how much good stuff you can get, exactly like what they have, or the new trick of the week part or whatever, it comes down to data and just the experience you have there. We're out there at Charlotte. We've got one hit in every lane. We get to make, you know, during qualifying, we run one lap in every lane. And then you go to Schumacher's team, and they've got three fuel cars, and they get to make one hit in every lane. So they just tripled their data on each lane by having those cars. And it plays a huge factor in being able to go out and really stand on the tune-up and go out there and run good. So it's not really a handicap, but it's just an advantage that they have over us, being a big, well-funded team. And, you know, we're doing everything we can to overcome that. I've got a lot of response out of the fans coming up to us at the ropes, coming up to us or commenting on our Facebook or anything, you know, Twitter or whatever. And they're really excited, really happy to see, you know, somebody come in new and go out there and be able to go battle it out with the quote-unquote big guys, you know, Schumacher, Alan Johnson, all those guys, I mean, the big multi-car teams. And so, I mean, that's motivation for us to go out and try to do the best we can and just bring in as many fans and as much support as possible.
Now, do you have a long-term plan for what you want to do? Obviously, short-term, it's about maintaining the team, keeping things rolling, keeping money coming in as a person. But also, I know it's a family-based team, and you could be out there doing marketing, trying to bring on a big sponsor. If you get that win, that brings you attention, that perhaps you could bring in more money. Maybe we hear people, they want to expand to two cars as soon as they possibly can. Others want to stick with one car and refine things as possible. Do you have a long-term strategy that you guys are working right now?
Yeah, we really do. We're doing marketing. We're trying to bring in some potential partners and, you know, get this thing to the caliber it needs to be. I don't want to get the cart before the horse, so to say, and go out there and start trying to sell a second team and put this together. I mean, if that was a possibility in the future, yes, we would look at it and go that way. But what I really want to do is get this team established, get this team get firmly planted in the NHRA and be a team that's, you know, someone to be dealt with. So we don't want to get our eggs before they hatch, but we're definitely working for a long-term goal, trying to get this team up and running the best that we possibly can and just establish ourselves as a front runner in the class. So we are doing marketing. We are searching for marketing partners, and I feel like we have a big value to give to potential sponsors or anybody that wants to come be part of Torrance Racing. So, yeah, we're working for a long-time goal.
And you allowed me, just because of your marketing work, to have a good conversation with Danny White at the Winter Nationals. That was very cool.
that's pretty cool. It's always fun to have, you know, somebody from Texas that represents you well, and you got a big time Dallas Cowboys quarterback, and it was fun to have him out. We had Danny and Ray Grimm from Southern California out hanging out with us, and it's always fun to have people like that out, bring them to the sport, show them just exactly what it is that we do. And those guys, you know, they hadn't been to a drag race in years. So when they came out there to Pomona and were able to stand on the starting line and hear the fuel cars take off and feel it, they're fans for life now. And that's always fun. I like to share my excitement of the sport with others.
And that is a story we've heard over and over again, right? The first timer that never wants to leave after they see it. That's the big challenge.
That's exactly it. You know, I had a discussion with Danny later that evening, and I was trying my hardest to get him to get in the car. We're going to, you know, and I was kind of pulling his leg a little bit and said, hey, get in the car. We'll get one sized up for you. We'll have you ready to go. Two or three races, you'll be driving the second car. He said that, you know, he would go out and get sacked or throw as many quarterback passes as he possibly could, but no matter what, he wasn't getting in one of those things.
And I understand the sentiment. You guys are nuts out there. Don't get me wrong. I love it. But to try to imagine what it must be like, Steve, accelerating that quickly, keeping the thing between the scoreboards in your lane. And as you mentioned, the level of competition has now gone through the roof. Guys like Massey and Antron and the Sarge and everybody is on it. You are on it. Everyone is on it. It's coming down to thousands every run nowadays.
Yeah, it really is. And I mean, I've been at home all week. The last few weeks, I've really concentrated on that. And Brad Hadman's built me a simulator type cockpit that's exactly like my car. And I'm at home working on my practice tree, working on my reaction times, because that's what it's down to. You know, your crew chiefs out there, they give you a car that'll go 79 flat or a car that'll go 80, 81. And you get beat by somebody that when you go 80 and they go 81 and you go home. I mean, that doesn't look good on TV. That doesn't look good on you. It doesn't look good on anybody, but it hurts the most as a driver because you're like, man, I let my guys down. So I've been practicing all I could to get just on it, working on my focus and concentration, and we'll just see what it does. I know those guys are doing it every day too. So it's really, you got to hone that skill.
And it's tough because there's no mistakes. What do? You visualize first round, or do you just go up, see the light, and hit it and try to become consistent? Do you have a pattern that you work?
I try to do everything the same every run. And a few years back, I was having some problems when I was over driving with Dexter, and I talked to Tony Schumacher. You know, they call that guy the machine, and he really is. He really does the same thing every time. He doesn't get emotionally involved. He goes up there and does his job. And that's why he's seven-time champion. I mean, the guy's consistent, and he's always there. He may not be the fastest on the tree. He's never the slowest, but he's always the same. He always gives the crew chiefs the same car, and that's what it takes.
And Tony, been battling it out, running great, but a perfect example of how tough it is out there. He's making finals, but cracking through has been difficult.
Yeah, it really has. And you know, that team over there is awesome. I mean, they've proven that they can win. They're just not having the luck here. And, you know, sometimes it's just, I don't even know how to say it. I mean, sometimes you're just on the wrong end of the stick. But consistency will pay off, and you can win a championship and never win a race. You just got to be there every time and be consistent. So those guys, you know, you never want to pull up beside them and race them. So we'll do what we can.
Well, you've been doing a good job this year. The team's running well, and it's been a lot of fun following you. Steve, why don't you give out your Facebook and your Twitter for our fans out there? Maybe they can follow along with the team and see what you're up to.
Yeah, the Facebook page is Steve Torrance, Top Fuel Pilot, and then you can follow us on Twitter, @SteveTorrance. So I try to keep all that stuff up to date as much as possible, and always try to throw some just personal stuff in there. I've kind of started a little restoration project. I'm restoring a old vintage Honda motorcycle, so I'm going to post some of that stuff on Facebook and post some pictures on Twitter. So try to follow that and keep up, and just something out of the norm that leads a little bit into my personal life. So trying to keep all the fans involved.
That's what the fans want. They want to get to know you guys. They want to know who they're rooting for, and that's why they root for people. It used to be wild paint jobs and cool names on cars, and now they need more, and social media has given them that access, which is great. I think it's a big improvement for the sport.
It really is, and, you know, I talk to a lot of fans, and I talk to a lot of little kids coming up to the rope and stuff out there, and, you know, I turned 29 last week, or actually, I guess this week. No, last week. So
happy birthday.
Thank you.
It's all downhill from here. It's all over.
Well, next year I'm going to be 29 and holding, and then after that will be the annual 29th anniversary. You see the little kids come up, and it wasn't too long ago, you know, that I was the little kid on the other side of the rope wondering what was going on in that pit, wanting to drive one of these cars and just wondering what it would be like. So I really connect on that level and try to get anybody I can involved, talk to them, make them feel comfortable, and just share my passion of the sport, because that's where the sport's got to be. We got to bring in new life to the sport and bring in, you know, new fans, new supporters, and new kids that want to get into these race cars and drive them. So I try to bump it up every time I can and just thank the mom and dads for bringing their kids out and sharing it with them.
Absolutely. And speaking of four wide, you were number one qualifier. Cool story out there about not necessarily at the expense of IndyCar, because we like and respect IndyCar here as well, but the fact that the NHRA was able to beat them in television ratings, I think that's a big story. It might not be getting quite as much news. Competition Plus had it, but I think that's a big story. The Grand Prix of Long Beach is a big race. It's a legacy race. It's absolutely huge, and for NHRA to go toe-to-toe in the ratings, that's saying something.
That's saying quite a bit right there, because IndyCar, I mean, you know, that's a very, very wealthy type of motorsports racing, and NHRA is an awesome sport, and to see it start rising and excelling better, I mean, that's huge. I'm glad to see it. I'm glad for all the fans to show their support and be on ESPN2 watching this race and coming out and visiting. You know, I've noticed a lot more fans coming around, and I'm just glad to see that. So hopefully that'll continue to grow, and we'll keep surpassing those guys.
Absolutely. Steve, thanks for coming on the show. We had a good conversation in Gainesville. Sorry it took a while, but I knew you were going to have some sort of milestone. Number one qualifier, that is a big, big step. They don't just hand that one out. That one's got to be earned, and I know a win is next for you guys. Thank you so much for coming on the show and spending a little time with us. Of course, I wish you the best of luck for the remainder of the season, but in particular, this weekend at Houston, the O'Reilly Auto Parts Spring Nationals, a home race for you. If it all goes well, I'm sure that I'll hear the partying all the way here in South Florida.
I hope so, and you may be getting a call from me or something. We'll have to do something different.
there you go. Steve, great job. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe.
This is WFO Radio.